Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. My sincere thanks for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. I do truly appreciate everybody who listens and hope that you enjoy the show enough to want to tell others to listen in as well. I'm grateful for whatever you can do to help spread the word about this ministry. Remember, you do not have to be Catholic and you do not have to be into sports to be impacted by what I bring you each week on this show. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net, where you'll find lots to engage with, including logos to click on to follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Also, I mentioned this last week, but I wanted to repeat that I am about to start a weekly email newsletter, so sign up for that on catholicsportsradio.net, and every Monday I will send out about the newest episode. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. I know the team on the losing end would likely disagree with what I'm about to say. So from a fan's perspective, it's always so great to see a handshake line after a game, whether it's the end of an NHL playoff series or even a hard-fought college lacrosse game, both of which I have personally experienced firsthand, either as a PR person or as a broadcaster. But is that sincere or just going through the motions because it's required? This is where there is a perfect opportunity to bring our faith lives into our sports lives. And by the way, for anyone listening who is a coach, this is a great teaching moment for you to impart on your young players. In the New Testament, we read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, "Children, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth." It's one thing to be a Catholic and or for us to say that we are a Christian, but it's another thing to carry that out in all phases of our life by outwardly acting out this faith we are committed to living all the days of our life. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is a veteran Major League Baseball pitcher. He has appeared in over 540 games and pitched close to 860 innings and is in his 13th season of MLB, with 2022 being his sixth season with San Diego, making him the second longest tenured Padre. He spent seven seasons with the Washington Nationals, who had selected him in the 2005 MLB amateur draft out of the University of Dayton, where he made 60 pitching appearances after also having pitched for his high school baseball team as well. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Craig Stammen.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You bet, you bet. After referring to the University of Dayton, I'm wondering, is Ohio where you were born and raised, and also what was your family size, and are you a cradle Catholic?
Yeah, I still live in Ohio, grew up there, grew up in a small town called North Star, Ohio, town of about 200, 250 people, so a very small town. I've my family, mom, dad, I got a brother, younger brother, and a younger sister, so the five of us grew up together there in North Star. We immersed in the faith from day one, the Catholic church there, St. Louis Parish, and the whole town pretty much goes to that church where I live, where I even went to public high school. You know, 99% of the kids are Catholic and have that kind of faith life. So very privileged and blessed to be able to grow up in that type of a community with the type of family that put Jesus at the forefront. So
wow. Very
that's
nice.
How it all started.
Very nice. I mentioned in the intro that you played baseball in high school, but it turns out you actually also played football and basketball. Was sports really prevalent in your household, or were you personally just really interested in playing whatever you were drawn to, or maybe it was both?
Yeah, I've always loved sports. You know, where I grew up, there's not a whole lot to do besides work and play sports. And so big-time farming community, and a lot of people grew up on farms or associated with that. And so a lot of hard work goes involved with that. But in the off time, everybody's playing sports and doing what they can to enjoy themselves. So football, basketball, baseball is what I played in high school, and went to such a small high school, if the good athletes didn't play all the sports, we wouldn't have a team. So almost out of necessity, it was a good thing that I was a sports lover and was able to play them all.
Gotcha. So you attended the University of Dayton, which for the audience, that is actually a Catholic school. Craig, did you get a baseball scholarship to go there? And how much of a factor was it in deciding to go there that it was a Catholic university?
I ended up getting a scholarship, yes. Long story short, I was on the team as preferred walk-on, not recruited much out all through high school, and really didn't get a scholarship till about a month before the college season started. Just because there was interest from some other teams finally after I'd already graduated high school. So I got the University of Dayton. I'd always kind of grown up, you know, an hour away. So I was always a Dayton Flyer basketball fan. And my mom went to school there. So it was the school that I was going to go to, whether to play baseball or not. I was just going to go to school there. And obviously the draw of it being a Catholic school and faith being a part of its community did draw me towards that. It wasn't a specific reason why I went to school there. I felt like my faith was strong enough to go about anywhere, but University of Dayton was the exact right spot for me at the right time.
Mm. And audience, did you catch what he just said, that his faith was strong enough that he could go anywhere? And Craig, that's so nice to hear, because obviously we're all human, and no matter how devoted you are to your Catholic faith, we do hear stories from guests that come on the show and say you go to college and all of a sudden the lure of campus life takes over and you do get pulled into some directions that you end up regretting later on in life. But it sounds like you had an absolutely rock solid foundation.
Yeah, I mean, I had a great foundation from my mom and dad, both strong in their faith and taught me from an early age who Jesus was and how, you know, that was supposed to emulate how we live the rest of our lives. And I'm not going to say that I was without fault, but I felt like I had a good enough foundation that, you know, even in the, you know, the temptations of college and the ways that I've strayed away from the faith or done things that I'm not very proud of, I knew where I had to get back to. And that's happened many times throughout my life. And, you know, I'm so thankful that my parents raised me the way they did.
So thinking about that time in college, I mentioned in the intro that you got drafted by the Washington Nationals in 2005. Were you actively praying to get drafted into MLB?
I don't quite remember if I was actively, you know, praying specific prayers for that. You know, there was so many prayers you say throughout your life, and I just wanted to be able to kind of follow God's will for my life, essentially. And I don't even know if I was that specific with that prayer, but I know that was my thought, that, you know, whatever happens, happens. And I felt like he'd given me the opportunity to play college baseball for a reason, and that, you know, I was improving in my performance and was luckily even considered to be drafted. And so when I got drafted, I was very thankful, and I knew it was part of God's control and part of his plan for me that was going to happen.
So take us on the journey from there, because even though I mentioned that you're in your 13th season of MLB, the audience needs to understand the journey consisted of playing for teams like Vermont, Savannah, Potomac, Columbus, Harrisburg, Syracuse. How much did you rely on your faith to help you get through all that, hoping that it would all be worth it and pay off with getting to MLB? Because I'm sure there had to be a lot of moments looking up to heaven and saying, God, I'm paying my dues here. I'm putting in the time. You know where I want to be.
Yeah, and it's not like one of those things you say a prayer, it's going to magically happen. That's just not how it works. But going through the minor leagues was its own life, I guess you could say. It was its own way of raising me. I gained a lot of experience, a lot of knowledge, a lot of learned a lot of stuff about myself and how I needed to be as a man and how I need to be as a baseball player. Specific time period, 2008 spring training, I was having such a terrible spring training, I couldn't get anybody out. I mean, it was awful. And I remember walking through the Walmart in Vieira, Florida, and picking up the book Quiet Strength by Tony Dungy, and that book single-handedly changed my outlook on the rest of that season and kind of my whole career on the type of person, the type of player that I wanted to be, and how I should be satisfied with how God made me and what my strengths were, and to use those to the best of my advantage and be an extraordinary of the ordinary. So that specific book kind of changed some mindset, changed a mindset for me to allow me to have a little bit more success. And a couple of years later, I was able to make my major league debut. So that was probably the turning point within my minor league career, as far as things, when things kind of clicked and understood that faith and sports can work together. And sports is just an extension of my faith.
Well, and I have to believe that, given that list of teams that I read off, that it probably made you appreciate even more when you did get to MLB, because you did have that journey that led you there.
Yeah, and I think minor leagues is necessary. I don't regret going to the minor leagues and being there for as long as I did. And honestly, I don't think I was there that long. But it was necessary for me as a person. It was necessary for me as a baseball player.
Nice, nice. Craig actually has a Bible verse on his Twitter bio and has done some things off the field that show he is actively walking in his faith. And I have a couple different specific examples that I want to bring up with him. But first, I'm blessed to be able to give a public thanks to Mike Flood, the guest from 2 weeks ago in this show. He was kind enough to make a contribution to my Catholic Sports Radio ministry. Mike and other guests and listeners have been kind enough to use the Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net, which helps me out so, so much, given that I don't get any income from doing this, nor do I have any sponsors. As a result, all the expenses that you hear me say on a number of episodes of this show, well, I otherwise have to somehow try to find a way to cover out of my own pocket, which I have admitted does get quite challenging for me. In fact, to update you, a few weeks ago I asked for prayers because I mentioned that my wife, who is a teacher, was blindsided by news that her position is being cut, and unfortunately, I still don't have anything to report yet, meaning that she still has not gotten anything to replace that. My goal with Catholic Sports Radio is to bring more people closer to Christ, and I hope that by using the mix of faith and sports, that the Holy Spirit is moving in some people out there, and it's resulting in audience members being moved to want to go deeper into their faith, whether that's people who have fallen away and are making the decision to go back to church, or those who attend on Sunday just to say they went, but are making the decision to now start engaging with the Mass, or even if it's those who are already on fire for the Lord and are dedicating themselves to doing more in their faith and or in their local parish. To that end, if you do find value in what I do, if you enjoy listening to Catholic Sports Radio each week, if it's helping your faith life, if you want to help me continue all the work that I'm trying to do at the intersection of faith and sports, I would be most grateful, and here is how you can do so. On the show website, CatholicSportsRadio.net, there is a blue Donate to CSR button that guests and listeners alike have used to send me securely online whatever amount feels most comfortable. There's no drop-down menu of preset amounts to choose from. You put in whatever you want. As I mentioned, that is how Mike Flood from episode 171 made his contribution. Alternatively, as some folks have done, you can instead get in touch with me by sending an email to bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. And I will personally write you back with the details on sending a check through the mail. Of course, as you're hearing me do on this very episode, I will happily say on the air the name of anyone who contributes, regardless of the amount, or as some have asked me to do, you can instead choose to remain anonymous. This is something I ask for each week on the show because there is a need, meaning it's not just a formality, and I am sincere in my appeal. do please prayerfully consider what you can do as part of your tithing as it relates to supporting my ministry through a financial contribution. I'm truly grateful to everyone who listens, and I appreciate whatever you can do to help me continue working to move more people in their faith life through this ministry. Craig, as I started into all that, I mentioned that you have a Bible verse on your Twitter bio. It's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Share with the audience what that is and why it obviously spoke to you.
Yeah, it's a verse I use when I'm on the pitching mound, actually.
Wow.
And I'm not a big social media person, and that's been on there for a really long time, and I don't even know my Twitter password. But sorry, followers, I guess. But it's a verse, you know, the Lord God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And it just reminds me on the mound that to not be fearful, and that I've been put on that mound that day for a reason, and that's to glorify Him. And if I've got a spirit of fear, I'll not be glorifying Him. And so it just gives me a little bit of peace, a little bit of joy when I'm out there on the mound to be able to do what I love to do and do it as best I can.
But I read in my preparations for our conversation today that you've also been drawn to King David and stories of him.
Yeah, yes. You know, I guess it's every young man's wish to be that young hero that conquers the giant. And I guess that story's always stuck with me as a kid. But King David's story is not just that. It goes longer and more prophetic. And the idea of him being a man after God's own heart, you know, even with his flaws and his good characteristics, he stayed true to that. And I think it's an important idea in my own head to be a man after God's own heart and to pray for that and to try to execute that on a daily basis.
I'm sure it makes it even more enjoyable to bond with teammates when you find out that they are devoted Christians too. But how do you handle the guys that are not interested in hearing other guys talk about their faith? Is there a divide there and guys going their separate way? Or are there any attempts to try to start a conversation to see if their heart might be open?
So, very good question. I think, you know, it's one of those things where you've got to be respectful for where people are at, but also you've got to live a life that's worthy of the calling, a life that imitates Jesus. And so they're always watching you. If they know that you've got a strong faith and that you say this is what you believe and this is how you believe you should act as a result of that, they're going to be watching your every move, and they're going to be calling you out if you're a hypocrite.
Mm.
And so I think it's even better to be able to be out front with who you are. And I'm not talking about preaching on street corners or preaching inside the clubhouse or preaching in the dugout, but guys know, guys see, guys are always wondering, you know, why certain guys are happy all the time, why they're at peace, why they enjoy baseball. And those conversations happen organically throughout the season. And it's one of the great joys of being on a team is to see everybody's perspective on, you know, faith and religion. And, you know, we have great conversations about it. And there's many, many baseball players over the years that have come to the faith as a result of that. And, you know, we're always trying to, you know, build more disciples and make more disciples.
I like it. What about the popular question that everyone wonders for MLB players in the grind, the long season, the schedule of playing sometimes 7 days a week? And how does a Catholic get to Mass when you're traveling or you have a Sunday game?
Right. We're very, very, very fortunate as baseball players to have an organization that supports us very well, and that's Catholic Athletes for Christ. And they've set up a Mass at almost every stadium on Sunday morning. So, for instance, we were just in Atlanta, and we had a 9 a.m. Catholic Mass inside the Braves press conference room.
Mm.
So very lucky to be able to show up to the ballpark and be able to celebrate our faith and receive communion and things like that. So, you know, thanks be to Catholic Athletes for Christ, who I got involved with when I was playing for the Washington Nationals. Ray McKenna and Kevin O'Malley, the guys that run the organization, have done a great job setting up Mass for all of us baseball players throughout the season, and it gives us that little bit of freedom while we're out there playing to know that we've been able feel the presence of the risen Christ on Sundays.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I mentioned some off-the-field initiatives that you've been a part of. In 2012, you took your first trip to Afghanistan to visit military personnel. What was that experience like for you?
Yeah, that was a crazy experience. A USO tour right around the holiday season. We went to Ireland, Bahrain. We flew onto an aircraft carrier, landed on it, and then got shot off the boat also, which was you know, a roller coaster that you'll never imagine. And from there, we went to Afghanistan for a couple of days, Kyrgyzstan and Germany to visit some of the troops in the hospital. So it was a jam-packed, flying all over the world type of 7-8 days that we had, and an experience that I'll never forget. But it showed me what war is like, and it's not great. But the soldiers that are a part of it, we can still love on them as best we can.
And you are an ambassador for the United Heroes League. Is that a product of having gone to Afghanistan in 2012, as you just described, or had you already been an ambassador for the United Heroes League, and that's what allowed you to go there?
Yeah, UHL at the time was called Defending the Blue Line, and the founder of that, Shane Hudella, was on that trip with us. And we had a couple of baseball guys, and we were saying, you know, he was doing all hockey stuff where he was giving military kids hockey equipment. And so we said, why can't we do this for baseball? And then he got the idea to do it for all sports. And so he turned Defending the Blue Line into United Heroes League. And as a result of that relationship that we formed in 2012, able to kind of partner with his foundation and do some things throughout my baseball career, having military families and their kids come out to the ballpark, enjoy the batting practice on the field, meet and greets with me, sign autographs from all the players, get three tickets to the game, give them some what we call in San Diego fryer funds to go to the concession stand and get what they want. So it's turned into a pretty cool relationship. This year we're actually going to do a free military kids baseball camp at Petco Park. So looking forward to that this summer. And some good stuff going on with that organization.
So cool. So cool. Something else that you were involved with just took place earlier this month, an event called Celebration of Champions, which supports children with cancer. I'm sure people were excited to have a player from the San Diego Padres there, yet I have a hunch that you're going to tell me the impact that the event had on you.
Yeah, you're right. It's been an event that they've been doing in San Diego quite a bit. This was my sixth year in San Diego, so outside of 2021 and 2020 when they canceled it, been able to go to that every year, and I'm not the only player. I can't take the credit for it. There's 10 to 15 of the guys on the team that showed up to be able to take these champion runs with kids that have been diagnosed with cancer that are kind of in remission and have moved out of the hospital and are doing this run for the first time to celebrate cancer being gone. So it's a pretty cool event. You see so many kids and families going through some tough times, but they're on the back end of it and they're celebrating, you know, the strength that they have, and we get to celebrate a little bit with them. And like you said, we're there to support them, and it ends up inspiring us, you know, to push a little harder and to feel privileged with the help that we have. And even in my own life, to feel privileged with, you know, my kids' health, my three kids' health, and luckily that we don't have to go through that battle like some of these kids are having to go through.
That's actually a perfect segue, because I want to close by having you tell us about your kids as well as your wife and when the two of you entered the sacrament of holy matrimony, as well as a sports story about her on the last day of your honeymoon.
Yeah, my wife Audrey, I met her. She was coaching volleyball at the University of Dayton. My college coach introduced us to each other. He had called me up previously and said, "Hey, I met your future wife," and I hadn't met her yet. And he set us up, and the rest is history. So we got married in 2017, January 2017. We have three kids now. Chase is 4 years old. Summit, our daughter, is 2.5 years old, and our youngest, Ty, is 9 months old. So we got our hands full with the little kiddos, but we're blessed beyond belief with them. They're great kids, and we're just trying to raise them in the same way that our parents raised us. And the sports story you're talking about is on our honeymoon. We were playing golf. Yes, I got to play golf on my honeymoon. And my wife, she's an athlete too. And the eighth hole in the course in Hawaii, she hit a hole in one, and we have it on video. And we celebrated in great jubilation that she made that hole in one, and it's something we still talk about today. And can't believe it happened.
Very cool. Very cool. That's a lot of fun. Well, Craig, thank you so much for taking time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. I do appreciate it. God bless you and your family, and obviously all the best to you and the Padres through the rest of 2022.
All right. Thanks, Bruce. Appreciate that.
And listeners, you know, we always close with a prayer. And so having Craig, a baseball pitcher, on the line, this week we will close with an athlete's prayer. And let's do it, of course, together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear God, today is game day, and I place myself in your loving hands. Help me to be a good sport. I pray that I do not seek individual glory or accolades, but rather that I play for your glory and for the good of my team. I pray that all who play this game today are protected from physical harm. And my Lord, help me to accept the bad breaks as part of the game. I pray that I play to the best of my ability and to give honor to you by accepting my position and my place in the lineup. Loving God, I pray for those who watch from the stands that they too give glory to you by accepting without prejudice the rules and decisions of the game today. May their hearts be filled with joy and gladness that you have given them the ultimate gifts they watch this day, the players. Dear God, I pray for the coaches and referees that they too experience your loving guidance in the decisions they make today, for those who work behind the scenes to make this day enjoyable, and for the founders and supporters of the team. Finally, I pray to you, loving God, that you enjoy this game today and bestow on each of us wisdom and acceptance, no matter the outcome of the final score. With you in our hearts, we are all winners. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.